Hi, everybody. I'm Chris.
Oh, it's almost Elmo.
He sure is. I work at Hooper's store right here on Sesame Street. I'm on my lunch break right now, so I thought it would be good to take some time to spend some good time with my good buddy Elmo over here.
Oh, yeah, this is like a play date.
Yes, a play date.
Okay.
Elmo, I was surprised to find out that there are a lot of people interested in asking you questions.
Really, they are?
They really are.
A lot?
A whole lot of questions.
Wow.
In fact, questions came from all over the world. The public voted on which questions they liked the most, and those are the questions I'm going to be asking you today.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It is cool. Hey, check it out.
From all over the world?
From all over the world. And
wow.
You know what? While I was in the shower this morning, I thought of something. Since
you going to tell us about what you did in the shower?
Have you already started cooking? Have you already prepared to burn the turkey? Set it on fire? Oh, man. What was it? Probably my second to last Thanksgiving. That's what happened. Gosh darn oven's acting up and almost burned down my entire house. That was a mess. It was a goddamn mess. It was god-awful. But nonetheless, Thanksgiving tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. 1 minute after the hour right here on Risa on the Radio on this November the 21st, 2012, Thanksgiving Eve. Do they really use that? I don't think they really use that. I don't think they really use that, but whatever. I'm sure everybody's excited about the holiday coming up. It's what I could like to call that sort of like real big adult vacation. You know, kids are going to get the huge break come Christmas time. You know, it's like Wednesday before Christmas Eve. Before Christmas Eve, I should say. They'll get Christmas Eve and Christmas off. Then they got the whole week up until New Year's and then New Year's Day. You know, then they'll go back to school right after that or maybe the next week. So the kids get a big break for them. And it's the only other big they get. So I'm sure. But adults like it because for them, this is a 4-day holiday for a lot of them. Except for a lot of people in the service industry. And I don't feel bad for you. You know, make that money. It's a tough economy. I'm pretty sure you don't care about making extra money. Go out there and do it. But for a lot of us, it's a long weekend. I'm sure many of you are very excited to be doing that. Especially you government workers. Government workers, as they say. It's very, very rare when I sit back and sit on the radio by myself, watch the L.A. Clippers play the Oklahoma City Thunder. In case you're not watching it, Oklahoma City Thunder are up by 6 points at the end of the first quarter, 28-22. Clippers are driving to the paint. They missed it. Oh, and the first quarter's over with a score of 28. 22 Oklahoma City versus the Los Angeles Clippers. I never want to be a sportscaster. I just don't have the enthusiasm for it. I get hyped, but I don't want to get hyped like that. You know, get me hyped about football. I like to watch it. I don't want to commentate. I have to talk about it. Talk about which player's got the ball, who's making the tomahawk slam dunking. I don't need to see all that. I want no parts of it. I'm not interested in it. Nonetheless, it is important that we talk about the opening monologue. You know it. You know the opening monologue. I have to play it for you. Good old Elmo. Good old Elmo.
Hey, hi, everybody. I'm Chris.
Oh, it's almost Elmo.
He sure is. I work at Hooper's store right here on Sesame Street. I'm on my lunch break right now, so I thought it would be good to take some time to spend some good time with my good buddy Elmo over here.
Oh, yeah, this is like a play date.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, it's a play date.
Okay.
Yes, it's a play date. Well, apparently Kevin Clash has had several play dates, folks. According to reports, and I think you can probably find this on TMZ. Go to TMZ.com and you can watch the – I was going to play the audio, but they're outside in the street. And a lot of it is closed captioned because you can't really hear Cecil Singleton who is the second accuser in the street. You can hear part of it, but you can't hear most of it. And they're asking all these questions, whatever. And his lawyer is there with him. I'm not familiar with his lawyer's name, but I'm sure I have it around here somewhere. Not that it matters. His attorney's there. His attorney's not doing a lot of talking. This kid, Cecil Singleton, is a very well-spoken young man to be 23 years old. He's a little thoughtful in his answers. If you watch the TMZ interview, I want you to really, really watch this interview because it's out on the street, and the reporter isn't a seasoned reporter. He's not asking the greatest questions ever, but he's asking pretty good questions. I'll give him novice at this point. But Cecil Singleton is out there, and he's talking to him on the street. They're coming out of court. He's with his lawyer. And two things I want you to watch. One, just pay attention to the poise of this young man. Not that I'm saying that this in any way gives him some sort of veracity. In no way does it. But I do want you to see how poised he is. He doesn't appear to be stuttering or running around looking for answers. He may be he may be very gifted or either well-versed or well-trained in how it is that he is to present his case. But I want you to notice something. Here's one thing that I want you to notice. When he's asked about Sesame Street as a brand, he says, well, I've never ever really been a big fan of Sesame Street. Watch his lawyer when he says that. When Cecil makes that, watch his lawyer's face. He can't contain himself because he knows that that line will be used against him in court, saying that he's not a fan of Sesame Street. Lawyers are very nervous, especially defense attorneys or attorneys that are seeking legal action against the corporation. They're always concerned about what it is that you say and how it is that you say it. So he said, I've never really been a big fan of Sesame Street. That's going to be used against him in court. That's why the lawyer is looking at him that way, because it looks like, dumbass, don't say that. Because then somebody's going to say, oh, you never liked Sesame Street. So you're just going after it because you don't like what we do. That could be used against him. Of course, it's not that big of a deal. Kid didn't watch Sesame Street. Sesame Street is not loved by all. Of course, the lawyer's concerned that a jury might look at it that way. But you don't need a jury to try this case. You can just opt to have a judge look at the information. Have the judge be the jury, in essence. He can litigate this. He's probably never going to see a day in court anyway. If we already know that Kevin Clash is willing to pay off, well, I said the other day, and let me correct myself, $200,000. It's actually somewhere around $125,000. If Kevin Clash is willing to pay a settlement of $125,000, he's a payer, ladies and gentlemen. He pays up. He pays the money. This is more than likely not going to go anywhere further than settling out of court. Kevin Clash doesn't get any, really horrible stories coming out about him. He's got friends in the business. He'll be able to come back from this. Keep it out of the courts. You settle it. You move on. Hey, he was able to pay this kid $125,000 to keep his mouth shut and moved on. He was coming back to Sesame Street until a second allegation came forward. Then the whole thing changed. So consider that. Now, another thing I want you to watch in the video is how this young man speaks, how articulate he is, how he even corrects the reporter about certain questions that he's asked. He uses things like, I wouldn't use those terms, as if to sway the questions. He's directing the interview. When someone asks you a question that you know is supposed to parse a certain way, you have to be smart enough to direct the interviewer. No. I wouldn't even consider it that. I wouldn't even use those terms. You're putting the interviewer on blast. Why would you put it that way? Because I wouldn't. And he checks him right at the door. You have to really, really pay attention to that. And last but not least, folks, the creme de la creme of this interview out in the street, TMZ has it. You can check it out at TMZ.com. The creme de la creme of all of this is when the lawyer finally speaks. And the lawyer says, I've already talked to other lawyers who are coming forward with other young men. That are claiming the same allegations. Now, I've got issue with this, and I'm sure that plenty of you are going to go back to me and say, hey, Reese, look what you just went through. I cannot believe that you're sitting up here bashing on Kevin Clash. Yeah, I am. But remember why it is that I'm doing it. Because remember, folks, it was okay when it was me. It was okay to bash me when it was me. What, you think that I'm supposed to set a higher standard for you pieces of garbage out there? You waiting for me to set the standard? No, I'm here to show you what it's like, and I'm going to do it worse than you guys did it to me, not out of spite. I'm simply doing your jobs for you. You see, you couldn't stand Reese on the radio, so it was easy to demonize. You were so willing to demonize. You were so willing to speculate beyond the scope. All the evidence that was there. Reese wasn't there. I had a district attorney's office that literally, don't make me laugh, had to change the indictment to 6 months earlier. When they found out that the allegations were made, I was nowhere near in town. No one stood up. No press turned around and looked at, with the exception of Brooke Baldwin at CNN. Nobody stood up and said, hey, this doesn't look right, folks. If the guy wasn't there, set him free. They sat there and ignored it. Everybody knew it. They sat there and ignored it. But now it's somebody that you love. It's Elmo. Here's the thing that drives me up the wall. This guy can turn around and say, I'm resigning. He's not scrutinized for the accusation. He's applauded for leaving. Yeah, don't make this be a distraction to Sesame Street and the Sesame Street Workshop. He's doing a good thing here. Go ahead and resign. That's a good. What a hero Kevin Clash is. Go ahead and resign. That's a good thing you're doing for Big Bird and Elmo and the rest of those good folks over at Sesame Street. Don't worry about it. You go handle your business. We'll get back to you. You know, if you vindicate your name, whatever, but we'll just say, thank goodness, man, you're good enough to resign for the love and for the respect of Sesame Street. Absolutely applaud it. Folks, seriously, that didn't happen at Penn State, did it? Is that what anybody did at Penn State? Joe Paterno was fired. He was let go. Did it end there? Oh, hell no. They had to dig into every nook and cranny of internal affairs. We had to check his emails. What did he know? When did he know it? Jerry Sandusky, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. He went to trial. He was convicted. He's going to jail for a good 30 years. Spent the rest of his life in jail. That'll be the end of it. Nobody gave Joe Paterno the pass that they're giving Kevin Clash. All they could talk about for days is, Joe Paterno never raped one child. Everybody talked about the legacy of Joe Paterno. Not saying anything. He never said anything. He knew about it. He said nothing. He knew about it. He said nothing. Now, I bashed Joe Paterno, but what am I doing? I'm bashing Kevin Clash, too. If the allegations are true, he has to be bashed as well. I'm going to give the same scrutiny to Kevin Clash that I'm going to give that I gave to Joe Paterno. I'm not wavering when it suits my needs. I've been to a Penn State football game, for crying out loud. I have a best friend that's his alma mater. But I never changed. I never changed my view on it. But Joe Paterno never raped a child, never touched a child. Legacy, all can be talked about on ESPN and every other network.
Does this destroy the legacy of Joe Paterno? Because he didn't say anything when he knew about it? What did he know? When did he know it?
Was that the case with General David Petraeus? Found out that he had an affair. What did he do? Steps into the White House on Thursday and he says, I resign. I'm out of here. Did it end there? Nope. We had to know everything that we could possibly know about Paula Broadwell. Then we had to know about Jill Kelly. Now we know about Jill Kelly. Damn, the hell we know about Jill Kelly's twin sister's child custody case. She's touched nobody in this event. She's had sex with no one. She's written no book. She's not associated with anybody that's directly involved in this. The girl is not a White House official or even a socialite dealing with the military. But yet we know who her sister is, and we know more personal matters with her child. Dig deep. Is anybody investigating Kevin Clash? Anybody? One person investigating Kevin Clash? Not one. It's nothing to see here. So who are they protecting? Who are they protecting? If the boy was 15 years old, and if the other boy was 15 years old when Kevin Clash was having a relationship with it, if it's really, really about them, if it's really about the children, that's what it's always about. We don't want children. If after the Paterno, or the Jerry Sandusky case, if after the Jerry Sandusky case, we have to start telling people we can no longer be silent, we can no longer have silence, people must speak up and do the right thing. If that's what it was that we were supposed to learn from the Jerry Sandusky case, why is everybody being so goddamn silent now? Because you don't give a crap about college football. College football is a bane in your existence. It's rough. It's rugged. It's about winning. It's about scoring points. It's about winners and losers. It's against everything you liberal hacks disagree with, can't stand, and hate. But Sesame Street, oh no, we love that. We have to protect it at all costs. So if indeed those two boys were molested, remember, we're dealing with the same situation here. Jerry Sandusky, Kevin Clash. If indeed the Kevin Clash allegations are true, and having paid off one person $125,000, it's swinging in the yes column, folks. So with that being said, Jerry Sandusky's accusers, when did they come out? They came out later in their lives, right? It was immediately taken on its merits, wasn't it? Immediately. But Kevin Clash, no, we got to wait this thing out. We got to think about it first. You know, we got to think first, you know, you just don't know. Want to hear a perfect example of that, folks? I'll be happy to give you a perfect example of it. Let's go to earlier last week, Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg on The View, talking about Kevin Clash, her good friend she's known for 1,000 years.
We want to sort of report what we feel is really great news to you. The man who accused Elmo puppeteer Kevin Clash of engaging in a sexual relationship with him when he was underage recanted his claim, saying through a lawyer that he wants it behind him. He just wants to put it behind him. And
he said it was consensual.
Yeah, because they were adults. They were adults at the time, yeah. So, but, I mean, can you, we saw, you know, the newspaper articles, we've seen crazy stuff, you know. I don't know, but I have to tell you, it really, you know, Kevin has been a friend of mine for 1,000 years, and this is the last person. This is a man whose life has been devoted to making children happy.
And you know, it's so bad about this. This guy could have destroyed his career.
He had
to leave, Elma.
No, he didn't have to leave.
No.
He chose. He said, "Before I don't want to taint anything.
Okay.
Let me take a leave of absence and clear my name." And then the gentleman recanted.
Okay, so now he comes back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
But it's
a good week for Sesame
Street. It's a good week for Sesame Street.
And
for kids, you know, and for kids. And
kids and parents, they need to know this,
you know. And if you want to know who this guy is, there's a great documentary called Being Elmo. If you want to know about him, you want to know where he's from, what he's all about, check out the documentary. And I'm sad for this young man because whatever he was doing has been undone, and I hope he gets the help that he needs, whatever that is.
Quickly, you know, not quickly enough probably for Kevin, but quick enough for the two of them.
Yeah. Don't come back from that kind of stuff.
So that was the consensus. This is Whoopi today on The View after the new allegations come forward. Just listen to the contrast.
Our friend Kev Clash has resigned as the voice and puppeteer of Elmo after a second accusation of underage affairs he supposedly had came to pass.
He supposedly had. The word is allegedly, but she says supposedly.
And so there's, quote, he says, "Personal matters have diverted attention away from the important work Sesame Street doing. I don't want to go on any longer. I am deeply sorry to be leaving, and I'm looking forward to resolving these personal matters privately."
So now what does he do?
Well, now he's going to fight for his name.
But, I mean, he as a puppeteer,
mm-hmm.
most often you're working with children.
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's a morality clause at Sesame Street. Certainly he was wonderful at what
sure
he did.
Right. I'm sure
you know,
it's
but,
a hard
but,
thing because you got a brand.
Yeah,
you have a brand.
Where do you go? Where do you find another life?
I think once he's cleared, he will get another job because there's the thing about one person saying this is what happened and then hearing that there was an exchange of money, because, of course, if you get sued, you can wait the 2 or 3 years to fight it and hope that it goes away, or you can pay up and hope that it's done. But
the burden of
proof is on the person.
Right.
It's on him.
Yeah.
So he's got to move all his stuff. And, you know, it was better. He did the right thing. Because for...
The proof is on Kevin.
He
really has to.
He has to prove whether...
The perception in society, right? Legally, there's one thing. But then there's also the perception. So he's got
also
to go.
Well, that's why we're
resigning. On you,
it's a hard thing because now you have people coming out suing for enormous amounts of money, saying, "I had this experience as well." I mean, I don't know how you unring this bell once they start coming out.
Once someone accuses you, once an accusation is put out there, it lives.
It
stays with you forever because now we have the internet where nothing comes down.
Yeah,
so
right.
You can fight and fight and fight and do the best you can. But as we learned yesterday, Barbara, when the Central Park Five here, you know, we heard a big deal when they got them. Everybody was talking.
And then
when they
nobody
heard anything about it.
Right.
Nobody
nothing.
Knew. The 2002. This is what kind of happens. But he's our friend. He's been a friend to the show. And we just want to say, hey, you know, you did what you needed to do, and we'll see you soon.
You see the difference? Now, I give her credit for saying, hey, you know, once that stuff is out there, it's with you forever. Hey, I know. You're goddamn right. I know. But where's the scrutiny, stupid? I get it that it's your friend. But you know what? If you found out that your friend was molesting little boys, what would you do, Whoopi? What would you say? How would you feel for an old rap song? But what would you do? The bottom line is that this
is an amazing turn of events for The View. That's why I wanted you to hear it. You know, they couldn't say anything about the credibility. And by the way, The View is absolutely wrong. The burden of proof is on the accuser, always. But see, this is where the life in which most people live. If you're accused of something, it's on you to prove you didn't do it. Doesn't matter if you weren't there. You've got to bust your ass to prove that you didn't commit the crime. Which is never the case, folks. That's not how the justice system works. You accuse me, prove I did it. Which is why they get the caveat of never using the word innocent in a court of law. Pay attention.
I'm about to drop the knowledge on you. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to drop the knowledge on you.
When a person is found not guilty at trial, he is never called innocent. He is called, he is proclaimed not guilty. It does not mean that you are innocent. This is why it's not used in a court of law. This is why they use the term acquitted. It only means that the district attorney has not reached the burden of proof to convict you. There are no innocent people in the court of law. When you go to trial, you do not exonerate yourself. Need I say two famous letters that prove that, folks? OJ. It doesn't matter that we found OJ, Orenthal J. Simpson, not guilty of two counts of murder. That does not mean he was innocent of anything. It means that the district attorney did not meet their burden of proof. That's all it means. So when people go out there and they talk all that stuff about, you know, you go out there and, you know, you get your name back. You don't get your name back. Accused of something is accused of something. It is a sentence.
Like it or not. But that's the fact. All right, I ran this monologue a little too long. I was supposed to go at least 4 minutes shorter than this, but I had to play that audio. Hey, folks, go to our Facebook page. That's Reese on the Radio on Facebook, or Edward Reese Hopkins. You can look that up on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Become a subscriber to the show. We put a lot of stuff on there. And I talked about this today. There's this album by one of my favorite groups, De La Soul. I love, love, love that group. And I'm trying to get this album that they did with Nike called Are You In? This is that song. So play a couple of De La Soul, and we'll get back. Give us about 5-6 minutes, maybe a little longer. We'll be right back. We're going to set up. We got more news. We got to talk about Jesse Jackson Jr. and some more Thanksgiving talk. I promise you, I'm not doing that corny stuff that everybody else is doing.
What's he going to do with the stuffing?
I won't do that. We'll see you in a little bit. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
And we won't stop rocking till we retire. Since the economy is such in them dire straits, that isn't an option. Our thing is to be currency kings, thoroughbred NYC, burrowbred. We burrow through dirt and crack open cement. These lines were penned while I was semi-bent. The innocent smile's friend broke when he shook it. Remind me when my grandma used to say my ways need a brace, cause my ways just seem so crooked. The little black terror had a ball bearer watcher, Bear Mountain skater, peace out premier, take us out with the peep out the transition. The ammunition that we're shooting is ambition, and implanted inside every history book. We the crew who travel to every cranny and nook of the free world, freeing girls from the mate. Pull this hard with hate. I know if I ask her to slide, she move her head back and forth instead of side to side. This be that one to ride to, the one to jump inside of and make love to your mind. I'm like that baby, that Vancouver lady, Amsterdam boy, sent to the earth to ambush your
95.1 Radio Dex. I revamp cassettes. Set digital age, my protect your credit card. Plastic, dope form, that's oral form. Cowboy style, I giddy up. She gets perky like morning coffee. Skin dark like coffee. Get off me. Fix the mouth to mouth off and she lost me. In the eve of the night, I play the Monte Cristo. Skip the disco, we leave in the night. Rules don't apply, the thieves in the night. Still hearts like crooked card decks. With more effects, showing more money on the budget. You gotta love it. Screams take flight like spaceships at night. And I count it all. T-minus. Reunited after degrees in September, the leaves began rushing the earth. I fell for it. Scores of faces, so we rocked the bells for it. Not a horse, you shouldn't have dummy like that. I make sure we got glue for the summer. Make do for the summer. 900 horns, we done blew a new number. Drink with the king, I'm holding on to 40 forever.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reseller Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in.
Six, two. time we build, man.
Just stop taking me for a ride.
Stop gassing me, stop gassing me.
All I wanna do is take my time.
All we want to deal is reality.
Just stop taking me for a ride.
Stop gassing me, stop gassing me.
Cause all I wanna do is take my time.
Take my time, take my time.
I've been on the streets for about a little over 2 years. Occasionally, I mean, I've had, some nice moments, you know, where I thought I might get somewhere. But then something or other occurs, and I get sidetracked. And then some days I can go 2-3 days at a time before I start thinking again optimistically or whatever, because things just happen. I don't make any money panhandling or something like that.
Hello, America. I'm Chuck Woolery with today's Save Us Chuck Minute. My fellow Americans, there is no doubt that it's tragic when anyone takes the life of another without cause, but to blame assault weapons would be like blaming airplanes for the 9/11 attack. The problem lies with the perpetrator, not the gun. So why should we have assault weapons? Number one, the Constitution. It's still the law of the land, and the Second Amendment says I have the right to bear arms. Number two, it allows for people to protect themselves even from the government, if necessary. Lessons learned from living under King George. Number three, the threat of armed citizens deters foreign invaders, like Japan in World War II, who feared we would have a rifle behind every blade of grass. Number four, all guns are dangerous in the wrong hands, so it makes no sense to selectively ban some. Number five, the gun industry employs about 184,000 people. Ban the guns, those people become unemployed. Or isn't unemployment a problem anymore? I'm Chuck Woolery. To talk to me directly, go to Twitter at Chuck Woolery.
I'm sorry for the delay, folks. I apologize. My microphone was completely off, and I was having some difficulties there. You went through 2 minutes of dead air, so my apologies. I'm sitting here talking to myself because I don't even realize that my microphone is off because I'm trying to say something. What I was saying was that I'm sorry that I was completely taken off my game because, you know, talking to myself. Anyway, 20 minutes to the top of the hour, Teresa on the radio. I was asking the question, if you ever in your life had anybody ever take, like, your moment from you. When you're there, you're in a zone, and somebody comes in and just kills it. Have you ever had that happen? It's so much different than somebody taking your thunder, because thunder is vanity-driven. You know, somebody takes your thunder, that's all about vanity. You know, everyone's paying attention to you. You're the hot shot. You're the big deal. Then somebody comes in and they're hotter or funnier or more entertaining than you, and that's stealing your thunder. I get that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody. You're in a great place. You're in a great space. You've got a mojo. You've got a groove going on. And then somebody comes in and they just take it from you. Just regardless of the fact that it's probably the most selfish thing to do. For anybody to do to you, but they just do it anyway. And I don't get it, and I don't understand it. I'll just never, ever get it. But whatever. I just have to deal with it. I'm sorry, folks, and I'm not in a shittier mood. And I'm sorry. Now, you know me. I never, ever use language unless I'm completely irritated to doing it. I wanted to get into Jesse Jackson Jr. I'm really, to be honest with you,
I'm so perturbed at this particular point. Because I was going somewhere, and then just somebody just comes around and just, ugh, I just can't do it right now. Folks, give me a minute. Just give me a minute. I'm just off my game in, at this particular moment. Just let me deal with this for a second. All right? This is The Cult. We'll be back at True Sun Radio. BlogTalkRadio.com, November the 21st, 2012. 14 minutes to the top of the hour. I really, really love that song. Anyway. Yeah, I have to get into Jesse Jackson. Good old Missy. Jesse.
Jackson Jr., who is in the news today. If you didn't hear it, I'm going to be stunned if you didn't. It was breaking news this afternoon. Jesse Jackson Jr. has resigned his Congress seat today, citing health reasons and an intensifying federal investigation into his use of campaign funds. Not to mention all the rest of the crap that he's got going for him. You know, trying to buy President Barack Obama's former Senate seat, things of that nature. Forget about all that. Forget about all of that. That doesn't mean he didn't even have the heart or the guts enough to go out and face his constituents, the ones who voted for him overwhelmingly, while he's sitting in a Mayo Clinic suffering from depression. Or as I like to call it, phony diseases. Phony. Suffering from bipolar disorder. You know what Jesse Jackson Jr.'s bipolar disorder is? He doesn't know when to serve the people or when to serve himself. Taking campaign money to buy $42,000 watch for another broad, and your wife is the alderman in Chicago. It's clear to me. I would ask a million questions about this, but for crying out loud, here's an important one. Just to think about it, you do know your father's name is Jesse Jackson, right? You do know that your father has tried very, very hard to keep his name out of the press as far as scandals go. And now, it is like father, like son. You are no better. You are just as worthless. Oh, yes, your daddy worthless. This is what he said. Jesse Jackson Jr. says, during this journey, during this journey, I've made my share of mistakes. I'm aware of the ongoing federal investigation into my activities, and I'm doing my best to address the situation responsibly. Oh, they're investigating his wife, Sandy Jackson, in connection to possible misuse of campaign funds, too. What'd she buy, her man? Did she buy the man that she's cheating on you with a $42,000 watch, too? But Jackson's letter clearly seeks to absolve her of any wrongdoing. He's saying that, it's his fault and his alone. But I'm reading another report here that's coming out of Chicago. The story that's coming out of Chicago, he was so distraught. So distraught that he would not meet with his staff. Or campaign donors. He would not even give a speech to them because he couldn't stop crying. Well, where, nigga, where? You poor baby. I understand Messy Jesse Jr. is going to do some jail time. I understand there may be some jail time in all of this. How fitting. This would be one of those great times where you can look directly in your daddy's face. I want you to do it, Messy Jesse Jr. I want you to look right in your daddy's face. I want you to say to him, Daddy, Daddy, remember when you got everybody else out of their foreign prisons and you brought them home to America? Why couldn't you do the same for me, Daddy? Why couldn't you keep me out of jail, Daddy? All of those strangers. You went to all of those foreign countries. You got people in China, Zimbabwe. Oh, hell, you got Mandela free. What you gonna do for me, Daddy? What you gonna do for me? Hey, JC, see if you can find that song, Daddy Wasn't There, by Mike Myers. I'm almost certain it's Daddy Wasn't There. Anybody remember that song?
Daddy Wasn't There?
Daddy Wasn't There.
Hold on, I'm gonna see if I can find it here. It's from Austin Powers.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Hey, and by the way, happy anniversary, man.
What's that?
It's a happy anniversary.
For what?
This is the first time we hung out.
What do you mean? This is the was it Thanksgiving? No,
it was the night before Thanksgiving.
No, it wasn't, JC.
Yes, it was, too.
The first time you and I ever hung out was the day before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was the day before. Well, we did the meet and greet at the club. At Cahoots.
Are you certain of that?
You called me. Remember when you called me? I said, well, I was baking sweet potato pies.
Huh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't remember.
It was
that.
The night before Thanksgiving.
Well, I guess it is an anniversary of such. Well, happy anniversary to you too.
Yeah. Well,
okay, hold on. I found it. I think I found the song. Hold on. You guys got to remember the song. Daddy wasn't there. This is a perfect song for Jesse Jackson Jr. to sing to his daddy after he gets arrested, after he goes to jail. Daddy got everybody else out of jail. Daddy was a surrogate. He was, goddamn, he was an attorney. Here it is. Daddy got everybody out of jail. To his father, Jesse Jackson Sr. Daddy wasn't there. Daddy wasn't there. Definitely wasn't there. Everybody got out of prison but his own son. I'm sorry. That's awful. He probably told him, I'm sorry, son. There's nothing I could do for you now. There's just nothing I could do. You got to spend your time. I got Santino on Fox News. I can't do it for you. I got Santino on Fox News. I can't do nothing about this. But Daddy, come on. Can you give these people some rainbow push money or something? Come on. You're making billions of dollars over there.
There's absolutely nothing I can't do for you, man.
I can't do nothing for you, man. But come on, isn't that kind of ironic that Jesse Jackson, it was just recently, it couldn't have been more than a month ago, he went to some African country, he got those two Somali men or whatever they were, he got those two black Somali men or whatever it was, some country, he got them out of prison, they were going to get the death sentence, they were going to be killed. Jesse Jackson shows up there, they're back in America.
Yeah.
His son gets a plea deal. Your father's a god in Chicago. Okay, what anybody says, I mean, yes, we know Chicago is corrupt as all hell, but your daddy is a god in Chicago. You still couldn't get, I mean, Jesse Jackson's got no wins in Africa. Who knows him out there? I mean, who... There's a guy in a country that's out there murdering all his dissidents. Jesse Jackson shows up, he gives it up. Jesse Jackson goes to Asian nations, they give him up.
Jesse
Jackson. You got the Iranians.
Yeah, exactly. Jesse Jackson is going to all of these other nations. He's barely a name. He goes in there and says, you know, I'm boss with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. There you go, Jesse. That's all he has there. You remember Martin Luther King Jr.? You know, that's America's Gandhi. You go, oh, yeah, well, if that's the... You march with Jesse? You march with Martin Luther King Jr.? You can have all the prisoners, Jesse. Just take them back to that dirty U.S. And he gets them. His son gets in the gym. He goes, come on, guys, I'm Jesse Jackson. They go, F you, nigga.
Well, you should have did like your daddy did in 84. Run, nigga, run.
Exactly. F you, nigga. That boy's going to jail. This ain't Zimbabwe. You better run that on the Ndugu. That's not happening here.
Grab the rocking chair.
But it's awful. I should feel bad for him, but I can't. I can't. Because for that guy to win the election in the way that he did, sitting in a goddamn mental hospital, and was able to beat... In fact, I found this out today. He didn't have one challenger in his district. He ran against two guys. And the guy who was the closest to him, he beat by at least 100,000 votes. So I've got no sympathy for that joker. I've got none. That's absolutely pathetic. Ugh. It's absolutely pathetic. You deserve everything you got. If you do jail time, your pops will probably get you out of it. Jesse will probably get him out of it, without a doubt. Without a doubt, he'll probably get out of it. That son of a brain surgeon. He will get out of it. Lucky duck. But I want to see him do that jail time. I want to see him locked up. I want to see him in that cell. That's what I want. He's got to go in there and do some time. And you know he does. We'll be back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. Top of the hour coming up.
President 7 years up here with the governor. We're not going anywhere, Gov. We're not going anywhere. And you got a homeboy in the deal who gets it.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E, I see it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Top of the hour, 2 minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio this November the 21st, 2012. Before the long weekend, we will be back on Monday. We'll also have Dr. Robert Rose back on the air on Tuesday. And he'll just join a general conversation, so there won't be like an interview. So, of course, if you'd like to chime in, call the number here, 347-308-8701. I hope, again, that everybody has a great Thanksgiving if you're doing something and or nothing. You know, I still hope that you have a wonderful holiday. It's a good time to sit back with family, you know, have some good food, you know, do some cooking. You know, everybody get around the kitchen, you know, cook up something. Make a pie, whatever it is you're into. But please enjoy. If you missed the first hour, we already talked about Elmo and the new allegations, as well as more allegations to come, according to Cecil Singleton's attorney. Said that he spoke to other other lawyers who said they're coming forward.
This guy was a freak.
Apparently.
Oh my gosh, hold on, hold on.
Now you have something to add to it?
No, I just had a revelation.
Well, what's that?
Ah.
Yes.
Is it not on yet? What time does it come on?
Ah, what time does what come on?
That's my door. I'm having a moment over here. Give me 1 second. I'll tell you what's going on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Do you interrupt my middle of my monologue? Anyway, my point was. Enjoy. Oh, yeah, like I said, we talked about the new
allegations. All right, I'm back.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
guess what's on?
What's on?
My brother's a serial killer.
Yeah, the OJ serial killer thing?
Yeah.
Is it on ID?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I said it was coming on today. I'm going to look it up. What's the title of it, by the way?
What's what?
What's the title of the show?
Family members of serial Glenner. It's called My Brother the Serial Killer.
Oh, really? Okay, my brother the serial killer. We talked about that the other day. People, in fact, Mark Furman was on Fox News, livid about this. And I hear now that Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman's family are furious as well about this documentary. But you know, like I said, you know, check it out if you're interested. You know, I'll probably catch it online. I'll look it up. To watch it, see if there's anything credible to it. I followed that in so many ways. It's disgusting. But anyway, like I said, at the beginning of the show, we talked about the new allegations that, according to Cecil Singleton, the new young man who's alleged that Kevin Clash and he had a relationship when Cecil was 15 years old, his lawyer is now saying as well that there are other young men to come forward. We also talked about Jesse Jackson Jr. about to go to jail, or quite possibly to face jail time after he's resigned today from his post as a councilman in the city of Chicago. This story today, I tried to get an interview today with the ACLU. You can look this guy up. His name is Ryan Kiesel, and that's like Diesel with a K. He is the spokesperson for the ACLU in Oklahoma. Their office is in Oklahoma City. This story definitely raised an eyebrow for several reasons, I guess on both sides. Here's the story. Wait a minute, now that's funny. Hold on. Yeah, why would Oklahoma be involved in this? But anyway, okay, fine. Story says it's out of Salt Lake City. But anyway, a district judge – okay, it's a Salt Lake City newspaper. I apologize who wrote the story. A district judge in Oklahoma has generated new controversy by sentencing a teenager to 10 years of church attendance, even though the judge admits it's not constitutional. The Religion News Services reports that Judge Mike Norman gave Tyler Allred, a 17-year-old, a 10-year-old deferred sentence for DUI manslaughter. Allred was driving a pickup truck that crashed and killed a passenger in December of 2011. In deferring the sentence, the judge not only ordered Tyler to a decade of church attendance, but also required him to finish high school and welding school. Allred's attorney and the victim's family agreed to the terms of the sentence, but the ACLU in Oklahoma calls the church requirement a clear violation of the First Amendment. Judge Norman, who has recommended church as a part of sentencing in some past cases, admits church attendance part of the sentence won't hold up legally, but doubts either side in the case will appeal. He says the sentence was the right thing to do. The ACLU is considering its options, but according to RNS, an individual organization must have legal standing to challenge the constitutionality of a church attendance requirement, which again baffles the hell out of me for several reasons. Somebody died, folks. Some person died. Now, they don't put anything on the age of the person who had died or who was killed in this manslaughter DUI last year. But understanding, fine, okay, the kid's 17 years old. I mean, in most cases, he's tried as an adult. That's one. I don't understand exactly the circumstances, and this story doesn't really give many of the circumstances, just the fact that he was deferred to 10 years of going to church. But the family of the victim have agreed to the terms. Now, if there's anyone who should get a say here, the family are the ones that, I guess, evidently should be getting justice here, right? I mean, we all agree that the family, they're the ones who, I believe, are the arbiters of what they consider justice. Unless, of course, somebody comes forward and says, hey, listen, you weren't going to get anything else out of this. You better take what you can get. And then they deferred to the judge and said, hey, okay, judge, you do what it is you do. But if they're fine with it, which, of course, the reports say, they're cool with it. Boy's going to go to church, and he's got to finish high school and go to welding class. He's got a better life. Maybe they're pacifists who believe that the boy could get nothing out of going to jail for an accident. He'd probably come out worse in jail, in that environment. He might be put in a situation where he was never a criminal, commits a crime, goes to jail for 10 years, and comes out a criminal because he's around the criminal element. Maybe people saw it that way. It's quite possible. Quite possible. I've heard that stated often. Go ahead, JC.
Oh, no, I'm back. I'm sorry. I just had a situation I had to deal with here. I'm kind of running back and forth because I've got guests coming over tomorrow since it's going to be my last Thanksgiving in Connecticut.
Right. Did you hear anything about the story that I just gave?
Some of it, yes.
Okay.
Listen, I'm really like, I'm with it, but I'm not with it.
Okay, don't worry about it. I just want to finish the second part of the story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The second part of the story.
Hey, one note before you go on.
Yes.
My brother, the serial killer, comes back on at 11.
Oh, okay, good. Now watch it then.
Me too.
Thank you. All right, now, the second part of this that I find extremely amazing, that really, really bothers me the most here, is that the ACLU is disputing this even though the victim's family says that they're okay with it. Now, then, this is the ACLU overstepping its boundaries. That's why I called Ryan Kiesel today to get him on the phone. But it's the holiday. The story just came out today. So, of course, he's going off to visit family. All right, that's fine. But I promised them that I would get back in touch with them after the week's over so I can get him online and talk about this, because he's the spokesperson, and I'd like to ask one very simple question. Is the ACLU saying that church is worse than jail? Do you get my meaning? It's like they're almost forcing the hand of this judge, or at least attempting to say, you sentenced him to church. You gave him his freedom. He killed the guy. You're sentencing him to church and to finish school, and you're telling him going to church is a violation of his constitutional rights. He got to go to church. And they're saying, oh, this is against the Constitution. This is so wrong. You've got to put that boy in jail. Church is worse than jail. Which is what it sounds like to me. I'm pretty sure if I'm the young man, I'm going to say to the ACLU, hey, back the F off. I'll go in. I'll do a couple of Hail Marys. I'll go to school. I got the rest of my life. What are you coming in here trying to interfere with this? What are you people, stupid? And I'm hoping that the ACLU in Oklahoma City is good. They're thinking about what it is that they're going to do. You know, it's like, oh, you know, we're going over, you know, the details to see where it is. Mind your business. I'm sure the 17-year-old is sitting up there going, you know what, ACLU? You're right. I really hate church. Come on in here and make sure that I get some prison time. Will you? Boy, I don't know what I'd do without the ACLU. Come in and make certain that I get the punishment that I deserve. I got let off easy. I'm going to welcome you guys in with open arms. Get in here and make this judge send me to jail. Because church is just extremely unbearable. Now, I want to hear what White Mike has to say about this. Because I want to know. He's only got to go in for maybe an hour or two on Sunday. Instead of going to jail. Mike, is the ACLU stupid? They think that church is worse than jail?
Well, I don't know if they're so much stupid as I think they're full of crap. Because I don't think that if this judge had sentenced this kid to yoga and meditation, which may have been far more useful to making him a better person than sitting in church for a Sunday, that they would have said anything.
Well, you believe that? Oh, right. If it was yoga and meditation, it was like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and or church or prison, I mean, depending on which church, and maybe all of them for that matter, he could lose his virginity in both.
You know, look, man, I grew up with Pentecostals, and I'd almost think that prison's better than Pentecostal church.
I'm not going to lie. You know what? There is nothing creepier than a full-scale band inside of a church.
Good God.
And they are loud. They are loud.
Well, I got friends that are Pentecostal.
Speaking in tongues and all that craziness?
Oh,
well, I'd rather take my chances of getting butt-raped in prison.
The first time I ever went to a Pentecostal church, I was dating this really, really cute, very light-skinned girl in high school. She was so cute. And she, you know, before I could really, really start to date her, she had to introduce me to her dad and go to her church. She was really, really proper. And she said, will you come to church with us on Sunday? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess so. I really liked her, so, I'm going to bite, you know, take the bullet. I get into the church. I'll never forget, as soon as I walked in, the first thing I could see at the altar was a big full-scale set of drums. As soon as I saw the drums, I'd never seen that ever. And I've gone to Catholic church most of my life. I see this big set of drums sitting there. First thing runs through my mind, I go, why are there drums here? Oh, does the band rehearse here? She goes, no, that's a part of the choir. I go, oh, my God, what am I in for? And this big heavyset guy before church gets up in front. He starts banging away at the drums before church like it was a real full-scale concert about to go on.
Listen, and when they start to shouting.
Oh, that's it.
Or what they call burning holes in them shoes. Oh, have mercy. You said there, Mike. I mean, you got your choice. Either a big chain, big black guy named Chains in cell block 3, or the choir director, Vincent.
You know, the butt rape
lose
might go
either way.
How long can the butt rape last? You know, 10 minutes?
The butt rape is probably minutes, where Pentecostal church lasts about 2-3 hours.
No, they did the job.
A buddy of mine my running buddy in high school was his parents went to Assembly of God Church. So I crashed at his place one night. We were partying, getting high or whatever. The next morning, he says, dude, you got to go to church with me. I'm like 17 years old, metalhead. I went to this church, and we got higher than giraffe pussy in the car before we went in, right? Dude, these people were speaking in tongues and flopping on the floor like they were doing a gator, like from Animal House. Bro, it was unbelievable. Unreal. You got it. It was literally the scariest thing I'd ever seen.
They shout like that in Baptist church too and speak in tongues.
And it didn't help matters being high, I have to say. That's one case where being high did not make it better.
So wait. But you had to go to church the next day. You were still high from the day before?
We got high in the car.
We got high in the church parking lot.
I'm a gangster, son.
he lit up a fatty for Big Daddy and the Spook.
You got that right. They were terrifying, and those people were out of their goddamn minds. They were one step away from picking up snakes.
And they're worse in the South where they do pick up snakes.
Yeah, and that's funny, man. The thing is, if you get bit by the snake and you survive, they're like, oh, well, God was looking out for you. If you die, it's like, well, old Ray was a sinner.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the excuse for everything.
Yeah. Like, look, man, now I'll get on a religious scare here. But remember when this tsunami happened in Thailand and like 100,000 people died or something? Well, I was at work, and this stupid woman comes in, this, you know, yuppie Bible thumper, and she's pregnant. I'm like, oh, you're pregnant. Well, how long has that happened? She says, well, you know, we were trying for a long time, and we couldn't get pregnant. Then we prayed on it at church, and I got pregnant. I thought, you greedy bitch. What about all those poor people in Thailand? I guess God just said, well, screw you, you fanny-eyed bastard. I'm going to give this yuppie chick in Florida a baby.
Oh, wow. Well, baby,
I guess they
slept off a beach
in Thailand. Wrong God. Y'all should have been Baptist, apparently.
So, of course you had to equate it to her being selfish, not the fact that God is far-reaching and can multitask.
Yeah, because God was looking out for her, but totally ignored all those dead ties. Sorry about your luck, Mr. Hamfong.
We got to get this girl in Florida pregnant.
Oops, we need one more snot-nosed little redneck.
That's just awful. And a horrible way to look at it, by the way.
Dude, I keep it real, man.
Yeah, that's what
you
want.
And by the way, man, no love for the De La Soul hookup?
Hey, listen, the hookup, I just tried to download it and it didn't work on my computer. But that's not your fault. That's my fault.
You need to learn
how
to use torrents. Do you know how to use torrents, Grandpa?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I'm sure
it's not complicated, man. All you got to do is download uTorrent, man. You can do it.
Yeah, that's why you use uTorrent. It's rather easy.
And don't worry about the RIAA, man. Don't let Sal scare you.
Yeah, Sal kind of frightened me about that because I remember that story in the early 2000s, man, when that girl, 17-year-old girl, no, she was 13, I apologize, 13-year-old girl was sued for some $250,000.
No, million.
Look, man, I'll say it on the air because I don't care. I have downloaded 150 gigs of music so far, and I download about 4 movies a week illegally. Come get me.
Hey, listen, we were talking about the awards during the award season. I'm like, what the hell is all this fuss about Hugo, the movie Hugo? So I went and got it. And like a month later, I got a letter from Comcast. We know you got it.
Wow. Please, man, you got to change your carriers. I got Bright House, and Bright House does not care.
Huh.
My download ratio is insane. I watch everything. I watch stuff that's not even, it's still in the theaters. You know what I mean?
Well, don't blast it here.
I do not care. Come get me. You want to see my collection of concert tickets and CDs, recording industry?
Hey,
yeah, there you go.
Listen, after I got that letter, I turned that cable off of Michael Johnson, and I turned it on back in Carl Bolt. Yeah, I did.
That's just a mess. All right, it's time to take a break. When we get back, we'll finish this up before Mr. Holiday is around. Mike, you got to, you know what? Send me instructions on how I'm supposed to do this whole thing with the torrent, so I can understand it, so I can get this damn album.
It's easy.
It's easy. All
you
got to
do is download the album. What is the album? I use uTorrent.
Well, just go to my Facebook page. You'll see it. I'm talking about it on my Facebook page. I posted it up there.
Yeah, I'm
just
kind of running back and forth because I can't let my collards burn.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back at True Soda Radio.
Holy crap.
Right here on blogtalkradio.com.
No. you can't get through. But I'll leave your name up and your number, and I'll get back to you. Once again, it's another rap bandit, meaning that I and I can't stand it. Wanna be down with the day glow, knocking on my door saying, hey, yo, yo. Knocking on my door saying, hey, yo, yo. I got a funky new tune with a fly banjo. I can't understand what the problem is. I find it hard enough dealing with my own biz. How'd they get my name and number? Then I stop and think and wonder about a plan. Yo, man, I gotta step out top. You wanna call me up? Take my number down.
Nothing's new by being talked by me. Or should I say a fox? Cause around every block there's Harry, Dick, and Tom with a demo in his car. Now I'm with helping those who want to help themselves and flaunt a nut that's doggy as a dog. But it's not the move to hear the tales of limousines and pals, the money they'll make like a pro. I be like, yo, black is claiming a tape. Well, I can show the time to see a just mate. But the song created in they shack. So wick, wick, whack situations like this. I now hate to give me smiles, Kool-Aid wide and ass. And with the straightest face, I be like, hell, hell yeah. Them the bitches that pop a print call, so I don't go AWOL, but yet I know when they call, they get.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave me and your number, and I'll get back to you. Hey, how are you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you. Check it out. Party after talking on Addiction Map.
Now go with me to the third degree. Mace pulls the funny, so I make like the bunny. Check, but I'm getting used to this game more abuse. Getting raped and giving birth to a kid. Cause there's no escape from the clutches of a hawker. Attached to my success, set like a stalker. Make way to my radius, playing fly guy. Try to get my back, they force like Luca. Me, myself, and I go to this act daily. And rarely do I not. No matter how I dodge, some jackal always nails me. No matter what the plot. And even out on tour, they be like, yo, I gotta get to play you back at the hotel. I be like, oh, swell, unveil the numeric code that guides my room. And tell them to call me at noon. But of course, there's no answering machine in my room. But a pretty young adorable boy drunk on tour. And if it rings while we're alone, she'll answer the phone. And with the business, she'll be fat like a phone.
And did the right thing, dollar. My ring, ring, now you're waiting on the beat. Say, I would love if you sing a tune the true instead of fronting on the street. So no problemo, just play your demo. And at the end, it's breakout time. Please, oh, please don't press rewind, cause I'll just lay it down the line. Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you.
Hey, how you doing? You can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and we'll get back to you.
They're
one of the greatest hip hop groups of all time, De La Soul of Wine Dance in Amityville, Long Island. Anyway, it's bottom of the hour. It's almost off. Take that 4-day break before we come back on Monday. That means that in 30 minutes, all hell is going to break loose. No matter where you are, no matter where you live, if there is a big box store near you, there is going to be all hell breaking loose. Someone will lose a finger. Someone will get stabbed. Others will get robbed. There will be beatdowns. There will be ass whippings galore for the holidays.
Are we going to take Friday off?
Yeah, we're taking both days, man. Come on, man. It's 4-day weekend.
Unless.
What's
unless,
that?
Unless.
Well, unless something breaking happens.
Well, we got the ass whoopings are going to happen at the table at Thanksgiving. Then we got everybody getting murdered on Friday, Black
that's
Friday.
That's the best part. We will have, listen to me, we will have a slew, if not plethora, of stories.
Oh,
but everybody's taking a 4-day weekend. Why wouldn't I?
Well, I thought we were going to we did things. Fourth of July.
Oh, you mean murder, death, kill? Nah, to do
yeah.
that strict for the 5th of July.
Seasons beatings.
Well, now that you mention it, that's actually a pretty good line. Seasons beatings. That was one of your wrestling competitions, wasn't it?
That was one of my shows. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Beatings. It's a great name.
Mike mentioned something about early.
I just put a one.
Continue on.
No, I was just going to say, I'm expecting to see a crap load of these stories that are going to be very similar to that. You know, it doesn't matter what year it is. There's going to be a fight, a stabbing, or something. I'm just waiting for what those stories are going to be like. Tonight, forget about it, 11 o'clock news, I would be stunned if those stories didn't break out. So, I mean, it's probably going to be mayhem because I guess in some ways there are going to be some people who are not going to do anything tomorrow. But in the event that they do, because what are they doing? They're not doing it tonight. They're doing it tomorrow evening just after, I think, 24 and a half hours from now. Right, Mike?
Yeah, shoot. There's Sears is open at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, I think.
Stop it.
Yeah, Sears is doing all day. Walmart's opening at 8 o'clock at night. I think Target's opening at 8 o'clock at night. And, you know, I was chatting with Sal about it. And it's just people ought to be ashamed of themselves if they're going to actually frequent these stores who are doing that. Because it's wrong. You know, just because you happen to have some lousy job in retail doesn't mean your family should have to get screwed because you have to go work so that some asshole can get a cheap deal on a flat screen.
Here's where I agree with you. I believe that the real retailers are, well, see, now then I'm going to disagree with myself now when I say this. Because in some ways I'm going, look, as a store, I can open up anytime I want to. As an employee, you know, I shouldn't make it cost you your job if you don't show up. It should not be mandatory. It should say, hey, listen, guys, this year our corporate office has asked to open up our locations at 8 o'clock on Thanksgiving. We are not making this a mandatory work day. For those of you who wish to work or stay with your families, please feel free to. Or those of you who would like to work, do not have families to go to, or would like an opportunity to make some extra money, we would ask you to please sign up and work. And make it like that.
Offer an incentive.
Right, and exactly. Now, if the store realizes it does not have enough employees, they can either search to closer locations and say, excuse me, hey, I've only got 20 guys. I need an extra 20. Is there any other local store that had an overflow of people who want to work on Christmas or whatever, you know, on Thanksgiving Day, who that you can send over here transferred just for the day or for the night, whatever. Whatever it is that you have to do, but you accommodate. You just don't force people to work there. That's why I say that this protest thing with the unions is bogus. Because I'm pretty sure the company has said, look, this is not a mandatory day for you to work. If you want to stay with
maybe,
your family.
But Walmart is kind of not known for their being voluntary kind of thing. And some of those people are probably going to be part-time employees, and I bet they don't even get overtime or double time.
Well, that's true. But if they are part-time employees, if you're a part-time employee, I'm sure you want to work that extra day if you need to or have to just to make the extra money. Maybe you
only work 20, and that's if they're offering time and a half or double. But what if you want to spend time with your family? You know, some things in life are more important.
But, okay, if it's more important for you to stay home with your family, then stay home. There's not been one report that Walmart is forcing employees to come in on that night. Not one story.
You know, it kind of goes against what Sam Walton would have wanted. Sam Walton was a decent man. And I'm not even looking at this from a religious standpoint, but as an American.
I understand where you're coming from.
You know, this is a day when you're thankful to be an American. I don't care if you're thankful to whoever, but you're thankful. And you should be allowed to. Yeah,
Sam
Walton would have had
followed the blue laws.
Yeah,
Sam Walton's the kind of guy who would have followed the blue laws.
You know, I don't do any shopping on Thanksgiving. I made sure I got everything done today. I got gas in my car. I got all the stuff I need. The only thing that should be working on Thanksgiving Day are emergency personnel like cops and firemen, hospital people, and people keeping the lights on. And that's about it. Shouldn't be gas stations or any of this crap open.
What about public
and
transportation?
And they're all open. Okay, bus drivers. Yeah, and caddies. And caddies,
right.
Okay,
right.
airline workers, you know, stuff that's
right.
necessary for the fabric of society.
Right.
But the rest of this stuff, you know, like I'm a capitalist, okay, I understand making money, but I'm not working tomorrow, so why has anybody else got to work?
Well,
what, just to sell crap so people can buy stuff they don't need on credit?
Well, see, Mike, here's where I'll contradict myself. And I know exactly how I'm contradicting myself, so that's why I'm prefacing the fact that I'm contradicting myself. The one thing that I know is that what companies like Walmart and Kmart and Target, what each and every one of them are doing right now is saying, look, we know these are some greedy sons of bitches.
Yeah.
And normally we would make the store open at 6 a.m., and somebody turned around and said, oh, hell, screw the Black Friday thing. Let's just do it on Thanksgiving. They're going to come. Nobody celebrates Thanksgiving anymore. And even though they know that some people do, they're pinning people against what they would normally do under the situation and now having them have to fight between what they would do in this situation where they're now second-guessing. It's like, well, if I do go on Thanksgiving, I might be able to get that $150 flat-screen TV I always wanted. And now they're pinning them against their own values. And that is, in a lot of ways, I would agree that that's somewhat taken advantage of them. I'll agree there. But
well,
I don't think they're guilty of anything of that, though.
People, ultimately it falls on the shoulders of the consumers.
Absolutely.
And people have no empathy. They don't care. You know, the average consumer who's going to stand in line there doesn't give a crap if the Best Buy geek has to leave his family or if the minimum wage faceless Walmart worker they don't talk to because it's just some minimum wage Walmart worker has to leave his kids at home so he can go get to work early. Because, you know, if it starts at 8, they got to be there way before 8 to get ready.
Sure.
So, what, you have to have Thanksgiving breakfast now because you got to be at the store at 4 o'clock?
Well, wait, hold on. You know, it's interesting that most people, I mean, I always was under the impression, I also hate this, by the way. Everyone always tells me, well, we serve Thanksgiving dinner at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I admit, yeah, it was kind of early in my house when I was growing up. I always kind of hated that. I don't eat Thanksgiving dinner at 3.
We're starting at 3, but my sister-in-law informed me that's cocktail hour. My sister-in-law's from Wisconsin, and they're a drinking breed of people. So apparently I have to go there at 3 o'clock to get shit-faced for 2 hours before we start on the turkey.
Okay.
You know, that's a new one on me.
Well, I always knew that. It's like I never understood why everybody started eating at 3 o'clock, and I'm going, 3 o'clock? That's not dinner time. That's lunch where I come from.
But you know, it's just sad, man. I mean, I don't get these rampant greedy consumers. I mean, how much crap do you need? You know, and I'm not religious, okay? But Christmas is not supposed to be about, you know, how much crap you can buy to show off.
Oh yeah, I agree.
You know, it's supposed to be about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. But even if you blow that off, it's supposed to be showing your family how much you love and appreciate them. And I don't think you do that by standing in line like Jews going off to the slaughter so you can buy some stupid piece of made in Chinese garbage.
Yes, that's a horrible comparison. But
yeah,
that's
why I don't go to theme parks. Everybody asks me, you know, man, you live in Florida. Why don't you go to Disney and Universal? It's like, when I go to those places and I stand in those people corrals, All I think of is those black and white photos of Jews heading off to Auschwitz.
You know, it's funny, Dennis. I have been to Florida more times than I can. Mike.
Thank you.
Mike, I meant to say Dennis is on the line with us. Mike, I've gone to Florida more times than I can count, and I never bothered to go to Walt Disney World. When I finally decided to go in 2005, I finally realized that I made the dumbest decision of my life. It was a joke. And
they're horrible, man. They're absolutely horrible, dehumanizing exercises in self-esteem destruction.
And the fact that I was on a water flume in a rainstorm doesn't get any worse than that.
The only thing that got me through my one trip to Disney was I was tripping balls on acid through the whole thing.
Oh, if I wasn't 34 or 5 at the time.
I was tripping balls on Space Mountain, man. It was kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah, if I was in my 20s at the time that I went, maybe that would have been a great idea, but unfortunately,
yeah.
I was adult.
It actually made it a lot better.
Hey, Dennis, how are you?
Well, a little better. I'm wearing an eye patch. Just had another needle in the eye today.
Oh, goodness. What's the deal? Is this going to affect your sight forever, or it will?
Yeah. If I didn't have it done, they told me I would have been blind.
Ugh. Do you have glaucoma?
No, it's macular degeneration.
I don't suppose marijuana helps that.
I wouldn't touch it if it did. I mean, it would cure the eyes and ruin my lungs, you know? It's my
well,
lungs.
You can eat it. You
huh?
can have
well,
a cookie.
But it doesn't help no matter what.
But anyway, it seems to be
it certainly
working.
Doesn't hurt.
You have to have 6 shots of this thing. Actually, I'd rather have the needle in the eye than 4 years of Obama. It's the anticipation, I found out, that's much worse. The actual needle, it's really nothing.
I'd rather have a needle in my balls than 4 years of Obama.
Well,
you can get both. This is Reese on the radio, and Santa Reese will do anything for you.
Well, here's my question. So, okay,
now
so,
I got a question for you. How
yeah,
come you didn't tell anybody that you made CBS Chicago?
What?
You didn't see it? You made a comment tonight about Jesse Jackson Jr., and it was right at the top of the comment section at CBS Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I made a comment about Jesse Jackson. I wrote it.
Junior. Yeah, I know you wrote it. I liked it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because when I saw the story, I had to comment on it.
It was right on, brother.
Hey, well, if you listened earlier when I talked about Jesse Jackson.
Yes, I did. The only question is, will the judge in Oklahoma maybe sentence Jesse Jr. to maybe 10 years at Al Sharpton's church? Then I take prison.
So would I, because I've been to the National Action Network. You've never been in that building, folks? Imagine being in the worst warehouse ever.
Have you seen the National Action Network's website? For $25, if you give the Reverend Al Sharpton, he'll let you know when he's having a rally. Jeez, I can hardly wait.
What?
Go to his website and then check on membership.
He has a flyer in the window. You can find out anywhere.
Yeah, but it says, you know, one of the benefits of membership in NAN, if you give him 25 minimum, he'll let you know when he's having a demonstration.
Hey, speaking of
yes.
Reverend Al, I have kind of a Negro question for you that's always baffled me.
Sure.
How come black dudes quit conking their hair? That was kind of a cool look.
The Jerry curl destroyed conking.
I mean,
hair.
I don't mean necessarily like James Brown conk with the big
pop. No, I know.
But how about a nice
acting
coal?
It was the Jerry curl that destroyed it.
God, I remember the Jerry curl. Those were some rough days, man.
Well, remember, conking the hair then evolved into the Jerry curl. When the Jerry curl took place,
I couldn't put my hand on the wall of our school building from like 1984 to 1988 for fear of slipping off.
Yeah, the Jerry Curl, what that took the conk one step too far, and so then any sort of relaxing of the hair was then deemed a joke.
Hell, even the blowout, man. I remember the gigantic, like, 1970s afro. Those were dope.
But remember, those things have been ridiculed now. Those things have been made fun of socially.
I wanted a Black Power afro pick so bad when I was a little kid.
And why?
Because I thought they were cool, but I didn't understand that I couldn't have it because I had fine, straight white boy hair. I thought it was kind of neat, man.
So yeah.
I don't think they have those in Africa.
You remember the Black Power Fist afro pick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those were great.
You could also double them as a spaghetti strainer.
And weapons. You had a weapon in your fro all the time.
Mm-hmm. I actually owned one of those black power picks, but I had the one with the steel teeth.
That's what I remember.
Can anybody
imagine
Reese with an afro?
Oh, I've had several.
Oh,
how big was your blowout, dude? Was it like Questlove level?
I've had one that big.
Or is it more like what's happening now, Raj level?
Yeah, I mean, you know, no, Raj is huge. So I've had more Questlove. Raj. No, I mean, Dwayne.
JCM
you know
have
Dwayne,
an afro?
Yeah, Dwayne.
You talking about Dwayne? No, I never had Dwayne's blowout.
Right now, as we speak. Right now, as we speak, I have to basically brush my hair every day to keep it from dreading.
Well, I've actually
what's that in English?
Blow it out, JC.
I basically have one.
Yeah, get it big, dude. Keep your keys and shit in there.
I've done everything to my hair. I've had the Jerry curls, had the conk, I had the afro, I've had dreads.
Look, bro, in 1988...
If you keep teasing your hair, it might fight back at you.
In 1988, I looked like Sammy Hagar.
Wow.
And now I look like Jason Statham.
Wow, you lost all of it.
Oh, yeah, the big guy upstairs, if he's there, smited my ass. He said,
no, that's
get
what
laid.
I think
he, me. He said, get laid now. And news for him, bald head is a vagina magnet.
That's what I think happened to me. I think that I got what as because of all the things that I did to my hair, I had turned around and got karma coming back at me. Where I started
my hair was blonde and curly, dude. It was awesome.
Ugh. When did you start losing your hair? At what age? Like late 20s or early 30s?
No, 19.
What?
Oh, yeah, 19. When I shaved it for the first time in basic training, it did not come back the same.
Wow.
So I've rocked the Chrome Dome for 12 years now, and I'm telling you, man, women love it.
And mine will not stop growing. Mine will not stop growing.
There was a study done just recently where they polled women, like scientifically, and women across the board said that men with shaved heads were more masculine.
Really?
So take that,
their
Justin Bieber.
Their very identified with very metrosexual. Because the guy's got to put product in his hair. You know.
I used to spend 45 minutes doing my hair, man. Are you kidding me? Blow dryer, all that stuff.
That's just insane.
Maybe if they make a remake of Kojak, they'll call him.
Yeah. Hey, guys, did you hear this? That they're saying that five of the top states that voted for Obama are going to have the highest tax hike in a fiscal cliff stalemate?
Mine's number three.
Yeah. So do I.
But you have to have a job to pay taxes, so it may not affect the average Obama voter.
Oh, but I just love the fact that the story's there. The story
is great.
Classic.
How about what happened to LAX today?
And you know what? Again, you know, Greg Gutfeld on Fox said exactly what it is that I believe. All of those people who were trying to get to the airport, all of those people who were trying to go home to visit their families on a day like today, watching those unions do that,
You know exactly what they're thinking if they missed their flight, or if they were almost late, or if they just couldn't get in. Screw the effing unions. I mean,
or Penn Station today.
Penn Station, exactly. I'm pretty sure these people are saying the same thing to themselves that I know they should have been saying a long time ago. These dudes are complete scrubs. Like, they don't care about anybody. And if you're in New York, if there's one thing you know about the unions, after that snowstorm that happened a couple of years back with the sanitation workers refused to plow the streets. And two babies died because the ambulance couldn't get to the street to the homes where they called 911.
I remember seeing footage of sanitation worker strikes in cities throughout the years. They had garbage pile up 10 feet high on the side of the street.
Sure enough,
how about the 96-year-old man in Long Island? They gave him a summons. He says, you can't bring your garbage out. You have to get a dumpster because we're not touching it in Amityville.
That's
96 years old.
That's Amityville for you.
You know, the only union that doesn't go on strike seems to be cops. I mean, teachers will go on strike. They don't care about kids. Cops won't go on strike. You know, cops,
well, the cops
will work
did
no matter
Boston,
what.
And Governor Calvin Coolidge fired every one of them.
Well, there
very
you go.
Very Reagan-esque.
I mean, in 1919.
You can't put the good of society, you know,
that's what he
by
said.
The wayside for your personal greed.
He says there is no right to strike against the public anywhere, anytime. So we fired every single police officer.
Sanitation workers, I mean, come on. You know what cloth they're cut from. That's what you could exactly expect from those guys. You know?
And the sainted Ronald Reagan. He fired the only union, all the members of the union, the only union that endorsed him.
Oh, you're talking about the air traffic controllers
union. Air traffic control, yes. And that had served to send a sharp message to the Soviet Union.
Well, do you remember the story behind
that? You wonder why.
That?
What the hell's Russia got to do with it? Well, because they were going to test him, and they said, well, geez, you know, if Reagan did this to the members of the only union that supported him, imagine what he'd do to us.
Exactly. I love that story. It's one of my favorite Reagan stories ever.
Look at what the unions have done to the slaughterhouse and meatpacking industry. You know, at one time, that was a pretty good job. You know, being a meatpacker, you were doing well. But they pushed their salaries so high and so many demands on the companies that now there's no slaughterhouses in union states.
You know,
they're
that's funny
right
that you say that
state.
Because the meatpacking
really?
District in Manhattan is 14th Street and Washington and Washington Street in Lower Manhattan.
There's no more meatpacking in Illinois in the south of Chicago. The stockyards.
I don't know if
there's minimal, if there's any. It's all
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I know that
there. The
I know.
I didn't
Colorado
know that.
Now.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's smaller there. But the same thing happened to New York. That place, you know, it's now called the Meatpacking District. But when you refer to the Meatpacking District in the Daily News or the New York Post today, you're normally talking about some nightclub down there on 14th Street or gay prostitutes.
A friend of mine lives in Greeley, Colorado, and Greeley, Colorado is home to a huge feedlot and slaughterhouse. Mm-hmm. And guess who has all the jobs?
Unions.
Yes. No, Mexicans.
Mexicans.
No.
Yeah, they bring in illegal Mexicans and illegal Somalis because they will work. They're not in a union. They'll work for nothing. And when they get hurt, they ship them back. They don't give a crap about those people. They get hands cut off and they die and they don't lose anything. It's just a Mexican. And they work for about $8 an hour.
And that is the problem why immigration reform will never be done, because the Democrats want the votes and the Republican or conservatives want the cheap labor.
And it's unseemly. I mean, you shouldn't have to risk your life for
nope.
that job just to come to America. You shouldn't have to risk your life for any job except being a soldier or a cop or a fireman.
Why don't you just sign the damn pieces of paper and do it properly to come here? That aggravates me, pisses me off. One of the stories earlier, was it springtime last year? Or maybe it might have been fall. But the mayor of Vidalia, Georgia, and they were talking about reform down there with regards to illegal aliens. And he had a fit because he wanted to know who in the hell was going to pick his onions. And this was the mayor.
You know, how come you can't give those jobs in Greeley to actual Coloradans and pay them a decent wage? So the people of Greeley are now saddled with all these illegals who don't pay taxes and mooch off the public dole, but none of those jobs go to Coloradans.
Well, why is it that the liberals make a big stink about some plantation in Africa for coffee or chocolate? So we have to have fair trade, and we have to buy the product that's union-made in Africa. For Christ's sake, take care of our own people here and pay them a living wage then.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, I'll have the whole De La Soul discography sent to you.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
You are the man, JC.
Two minutes and 24
totally
seconds.
Cool. Say again?
2 minutes, 24 seconds.
The whole discography.
I wonder what OJ is going to have for a turkey dinner tomorrow, because he sure knows how to carve up white meat.
Back it up. No, he didn't do it.
Wait. He's innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, it was somebody else's.
I didn't say what white meat.
It was somebody else's bloody Bruno Mali footprint, size 13 or whatever.
It was a turkey he was cutting up.
Excuse me, there's a program on television right now.
You have bad imagination thinking it was a human. I didn't say a human.
There's
white meat.
There's a program on television as we speak, and the killer's confessing.
Well, yeah, but Otis... Henry Lee Lucas confessed to like 2,000 murders. He didn't do them. He was just crazy, and he figured, what the hell, I'll get some notoriety.
Well, I mean, this guy's got details of the murder that
yeah,
released.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Ron Goldman says that those details that they claim he has that no other person knew, not Ron Goldman, I apologize, Mark Furman said on Fox News yesterday, he said that in his book, he said he wrote the details that this guy is talking about in his book. He said so he had plenty of time to research that stuff. So, I don't know.
That's bull. He's innocent.
Well, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. We will see you guys Monday. If you're going away, if you're flying, please be safe. Avoid the unions. Strap on your seatbelts and put your
in
upright position along with your chairs. Go to, go to grandma's. Have a good time. Don't eat too much.
Seconds.
Enjoy the football game. Let's go Jets. You better win against New England. I swear to God, I'm not.
Let's go Pats.
Everybody have a good one, man. Enjoy your holiday. Enjoy your weekend. We will see you on Monday. Same bad time, same bad channel. It's Reason Radio. We're out.
38 seconds.
Now, every day I wake up, I take out time to give thanks that I'm still existing. Still insisting that my people...